I could have your attention in the media center. We're now joined by our second fastest qualifier, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Miller Lite Ford. It's only been a short time since he was in here just a bit ago talking about this weekend. And you spoke about that winning here on Sunday would be like winning the Daytona 500 for you. Talk about your fast run and how that sets you up for success on Sunday.
Well, yeah, obviously qualifying well, it always feels good. It means that you have some decent speed, at least in qualifying trim. And a lot of times that carries over here in race trim at Michigan. A lot of similarities between the two. And along with it, you get a great pit stall selection, which pit road here is so very critical to your success. So we're pretty happy about that. We've, of course, got to make it count on Sunday, but off to a great start.
Great. We will open it up to media for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand. We'll bring you a microphone and state your name and affiliation. Kelly, and then we'll come up here to read.
Racer.com. Brad, I got two follow up from your blog the other week about the hybrid in NASCAR. First off, kind of, you know, NASCAR, I guess, in a sense, you could say, is kind of the furthest thing from what anybody would think of when it comes to, you know, hybrid technology and things like that. Mm-hmm. So kind of what does it say about maybe the sport or our culture that a series champion is suggesting that, you know, that is an angle that we need to look at, and because you believe it will be successful?
Okay. Was there two questions? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'll wait.
Okay. Well, you know, I think hybrid technology got a bad rap because it was sold as, from a fuel economy perspective. When in reality, it has an opportunity to be used for a performance perspective. I think McLaren Car Company has done a good job of proving that out with some of the efforts that they have. And on the motorsport side, there's a number of entities that are proving out that there can be some significant performance opportunities in that category. Unfortunately, it's been branded as, you know, pure fuel economy, save the earth, which is great in itself. But I think it has a much broader reach than that, and I think that there's opportunities to utilize it in this form of motorsport that would, allow a more powerful car, allow a more advantageous car to a driver to showcase talents, skill sets, management skills, et cetera. If we could, you know, put all those pieces together, personally, I see that as the future of the sport beyond any of the other talks that there are. And, of course, whenever you can add relevance to the marketplace and to the world that we live in and some of the initiatives that it has, those are always great as well. But, I'm very bullish on those opportunities and wish that we were actively pursuing them. And to this day, I'm not aware of any case where we are.
If that, I guess, kind of why do you think we need to go that route then? I mean, why get away from what we're doing now? You believe it'll be successful, but why do we have to?
Well, there's a number of case studies. You know, I think you look at what Formula E has done and basically gone from nothing to having some of the largest support of the manufacturers, auto manufacturers globally. They're doing something right now. I don't think that their motto is the model that we necessarily need to have, but I think that they're pursuing technology that's relevant to the world and the marketplace, and that will have a trickle-down effect to their brand, or has had a trickle-down effect to their brand and relevance to fans. So as we look to engage, the younger generation, whether that be millennials or whoever's after that, I don't even know what the buzzword is, but we're going to have to continue to find ways to market to them and to be relevant to them, along with producing the great racing that we're known for having and showcasing driver talent. So I see those technologies as the future for our sport, without a doubt.
Reed?
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. Did you guys take a pretty big swing at it between second and third rounds? And it sounded like from your pit road interview that you thought you might have left a little bit out there.
Yeah, I left a little bit out there. I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt. I don't know if I could have got to Kurt. I think he ran like a 40 or a 41, and I ran a 43. I don't know. Somebody has the official times or something like that. We made a really good adjustment on the car between rounds 2 and 3 and picked up a good amount. And, when you qualify and when you run laps around tracks like Michigan, Reed, it's so much about commitment level. And your commitment level is really dictated on precedent, you know, what your car has set as a precedent, whether that be in practice or in your earlier qualifying runs. And the precedent for the performance of our car was lower than what it was in the third round or what its capability was. And I just didn't adjust for that in time. I'd already committed, and I'm not sure that would have made a big enough difference. I had an incredible 3 and 4, but my 1 and 2, I certainly left a chunk out there, and that might have been it. I don't know. I'll go study the data. But, you kind of kick yourself in the butt for that, but also proud that we were able to make a performance improvement between the rounds.
Greg?
Greg Krupa, Detroit News. Ford pretty strong here today, and so far in the series doing pretty well.
Yep.
Without giving away the secrets, obviously. What's up?
Yeah, you're right. Ford has been very strong, mostly buoyed by Kevin. You know, if you look out in the landscape beyond Kevin, you know, Blaney's had some good runs. Of course, Clint won at Martinsville, and we've been okay. But, you know, it's if you kind of remove Kevin from the equation, we're nowhere near where we want to be. But Kevin is in the equation, deserves credit for that. I think that team is really strong right now. They're probably, and you know, you can always argue this either way, the best team in the garage. And they're making the most of the resources they have available to them. So they deserve credit for that. You know, I think that they were probably the best team towards the end of last year, and they were at a deficiency with the rules. And the rules kind of cleaned that up over the offseason. And now I think we're seeing a fairly level playing field between the three auto manufacturers, and we're seeing that kind of play out. You know, for qualifying here, we seem to have a lot of strength. I think, you know, when you get into this qualifying package, the horsepower is so critical. And Doug Yates does a great job with that. The RPMs are really high. Doug Yates builds a great motor for this kind of package, and it's really the strong suit of the Fords. I think you get to, you know, some of the short tracks with the lower RPM stuff, we're probably a little bit behind. But this track in particular, the engine package is probably just a touch ahead to go with the parity that we're seeing now in the aerodynamics. So all those things coming together gives us a great shot to win here this Sunday. We still have areas where we can be better. The short tracks and the lower RPM mile and a half are a challenge for us. But we need to play to our strengths, and this is our strength.
All right, we'll wrap up with Dustin.
Dustin Albino, frontjudge.com. Brad, yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of your first win in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. First off, can you remember that night, or what do you remember from that night?
I do remember that. That was before I was sponsored by Miller Lite. So more memories for that one, Dustin, than a couple others. But it was really, really awesome. It's funny that, you know, that was one of the hottest days I've ever had in a race car, and it was an Xfinity race. I remember that. Ooh, I was beat. But, you know, my mom and dad were there, and, you know, my dad doesn't come to races anymore, which I guess makes that even more special that he was there and that we were able to share it together. So you only get that moment once in your life, and it's amazing. It was 10 years ago, but still living the high.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brad, and good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, guys.